And this is a word for us today, just like it was thousands of years ago. Did you ever have Bibles on your shelf when you were growing up or a kid and they just collected dust? Maybe you didn't have Bibles, I don't know. But I remember I had a Bible on my shelf and just collected dust, and I would take it out every once in a while and be like, ooh, this is interesting. But you know, when you really get into it, it's life-changing. And so we need to be changed. We need to be transformed. We need to continually be changed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts by the Word. So let's get into that today. You know, we have a very interesting portion today, and it is another parable. As I mentioned last week, there's seven or eight parables in the book of Matthew chapter 13. So parable number two is the parable of the weeds. We're going to be talking about that today. Just so you know, the text is Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Then we skip a few and we go to 36 to 43 if you want to, you know, go to Matthew 13. We're going to be in there going to different scriptures, but we're going to be centered in Matthew 13 beginning in verse 24. But you know, we're talking about the parable of the weeds, but really what I want to talk about is, and really what was impressed upon me was encouragement. Do you need some encouragement today? I need some encouragement today. I think I need encouragement every day. I think you need encouragement every day. So let's just be honest with ourselves and say we need encouragement. Do you feel a little bit depressed these days? We try to be good. We try to live a godly lifestyle. But try as we might, we also open up the door and look out into the world and we see such ungodliness and wickedness. We see sin abounding. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just it's right there in full sight, maybe where it's been a little bit more hidden before. But we see it, and we see a disregard for Adonai. We see a disregard for his ways. We even see that sometimes, unfortunately, even within the body of Messiah, the great, you know, when I say the greater Christianity or the body of Messiah. And the problem is we can't escape it. We can't escape the news. We can't escape the 24/7 cycles. Many times it's very hard to escape social media when that scroll just keeps going and keeps going, right? And it never stops. But today, we need to be encouraged, I believe, and I think the Lord wants us to encourage us. And I think this passage will encourage us ultimately. This parable illustrates that fact that we live in this world amongst ungodliness. We are wheat, as it says, amongst weeds in the world. And so, the parable of the weeds. So, the weeds, of course, most of us know the story. The weeds grow up amongst the wheat, and they're not separated from it. Many times we want to be separated from the weeds, and we want to just live this charmed, godly life where everything's going great. Well, if you've lived your life as a follower of Yeshua for any length of time, you know that we live among those that don't believe the same way as us, that don't share our values, and that don't really care that we do. So we have to remember, though, and this is the encouragement, God is a good God. God is a good God. The enemy is trying to discourage us, but we need to have that hope that God is a good God. Because Adonai has a plan, whether we can feel it and the emotions are there of it or not. Adonai has a plan, Adonai has a purpose, and the Lord has a perfect timing. And one day there will be good victorious over evil. So we have to remember that. So let's begin in Matthew 13, 24. We'll get right into the scriptures today. Yeshua is telling us this parable. He's talking to the crowds. And he says this, I'll just read the first verse, Matthew 13, 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Now, I love how Matthew describes it as the kingdom of heaven. There's many ways you can talk about the good news, kingdom of God. He calls it the kingdom of heaven. Many people think that the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of God, but it's actually really one and the same thing. Now, we have to stop right here, though, because the key point is the man goes and he sows good seed in a field. This is the key. Remember last week's message, which is the parable of the sower, and we have basically the same basic characters. And if we drop down in Matthew 13, 37 and 38, we find who these characters are. Verse 37, he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man," which is Yeshua. "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. It's slightly different than last week, because in last week's parable, the seeds were the message, the good news, and we were the soil, right? Well, this week, we're the seed that's being sown. We are, believers, are the seed that's being sown amongst the soil of the world. So a little bit different. In the world that we live in, there are all sorts of opinions, though, turning back to this whole man who sows good seed. In the world we live in, there are many opinions about who God is, who the man is, and what kind of seeds that he is sowing. Some people, and this is just a general two things about what people think about God, some people believe that God is this person who's sowing these seeds, and he's accepting of everyone and everything that everyone does. He sows seeds of love all the time. Seeds of love all the time. We're all seeds of love. Doesn't matter what you do, you're a seed of love. There's no such thing as sin in this, right? Because it's just all goodness all the time, all love all the time. Well, that's not the kind of good seed that God sows. That's not who God is. That is an unbiblical and a dangerous notion of God. But unfortunately, we have to talk about it because it's very prevalent in the world today. Even amongst the body of Messiah, believing that, well, just anything you want to do, anything you want to be, you're all good. We're all good before the Lord. It's not biblical. Some other people believe, now I'm going to shift gears here, some other people believe that God, whoever God is to them, sows bad seeds. This is another common notion, that he sows bad seeds, that God is some type of tyrant or a cruel being who wants to punish us every time we fall out of line. You know, he wants to crush the seed every time the seed does something bad. He likes to withhold things from us as punishment because we don't deserve it, because we mess up. So many of us have that. Sometimes we feel that, right? Oh, if I don't do the right thing, if I don't say the right thing, if I don't act the right thing, if I don't do enough nice things, then I'm bad seed. I'm not good seed. That is also unbiblical. That is not who God is. But you know, we read about his statutes. We read about his ways in the Torah, his standards. And yes, we can get discouraged because we don't add up. We don't match up to the standards. Many times the standards are impossible to live up to. Try as we might, we still can't live up to his standards. Does that make us bad seeds? No. But many times when people feel like they can't live up to God, what happens? They become disillusioned. They become disenfranchised from the body, from God. They become unhealthy and they become far from him. This is real stuff that happens in the world. The truth is, we know we can't measure up, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't try, but it means we can't, to the best of our ability, we cannot measure up. We can't meet those standards. But the good news is God isn't a cruel God. He provides a way to bring us to him. He provides a way to connect with him. Because we fall short of his standard, he brings Messiah Yeshua, who died for our sins, to connect us back to him. Now, go to Romans chapter 3. I love these verses. And these two verses really tell the story here. Romans 3, 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, let me stop right there. It doesn't say, and they're bad seeds, because that's what happens. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. If you don't believe that, if you don't feel that, I challenge you to go home, read those verses, put them up somewhere, and really start believing who God is. Not who you're told God is, and not who you're told you are, but who God really is and who you really are in God. We are redeemed from sin in Messiah Yeshua. That is Adonai, and that is his nature, and there is healing and redemption and an opportunity to be those good seeds for God in the world. John chapter 10, verse 11. Go there. So that's Adonai, that's the Father. Now when we think about the Son of Man, Yeshua, and who he is, we read things like this in John chapter 10, and this should also give us an idea of who he is. John 10, verse 11, Yeshua speaking of himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God loved us enough that he brought Yeshua, who laid down his life for us, God laid down his life for us, and So what we have is the Father, Adonai, is a good God who loves us even when we don't deserve it. Yeshua the Messiah is a good shepherd, and he desires to sow only good seed in the world. We can only be good seed when we truly embrace and understand this. Point number one is the Lord sows only good seed. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the lies. He sows only good seed. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You know, in this mixed up world, the enemy has got people fooled about the seeds, about who God is, saying that God is not for our good and that he's sowing bad seeds. And you know what the enemy tries to do is he tries to say, well, God's the one sowing bad seeds. I'm the one, the enemy speaking, sowing good seeds. He tries to mix it up. The truth is that God is for us and not against us. He's the good shepherd, and he's always working to grow us into mature, good seeds. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Yeshua the Messiah. We have to trust what the word says. Now, Matthew 13, let's go back there again. Matthew 13, let's go to verse 25 and 26. We'll keep going. But while his men were sleeping, this is Yeshua still telling the parable of the weeds, the man sows the good seed, but, verse 25, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. You know, many times we have weeds appearing also in our lives, and we're like, what's going on? Why is God doing this? Why is this happening? Why is my life so tough? Why is this? It's all right there. It's in the Word. Weeds are going to grow up with the wheat. So, in this parable, a crop of wheat grows up, but weeds appear not from God, but from the enemy. It clearly says that. Now, the word for weeds, which is also in the Old English called tares, I don't know if you have that in your Bible. Weeds or tares. The Greek word for this word, weeds, is zizanion. Zizanion. And zizanion is actually a substance that resembles wheat. It's weeds, but it resembles wheat. It actually looks in substance and appearance like wheat. You can't distinguish it when it's sown. But you can start to distinguish it only, zizanion, you can only start to distinguish it when the heads appear, when it starts to bud, when it starts, and I'm not a farmer, but when it starts to, the crop starts coming up. That's when you can distinguish it, not before. The enemy and God are both sowing seeds in the world, and you can't tell the seeds apart until the heads start appearing. Now, I'm going to go on a little tangent just because I couldn't resist. Leviticus 19:19, go there. Some of these verses in the Torah were like, why is this verse in here? And Leviticus 19:19 is one of those verses. And I'm going to figure this out because it's interesting why God puts it in, I think. Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes, you shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. Now, we look at these verses and we say, why did God put this in? This is really weird, bizarre, it doesn't fit. Well, I think one of the reasons is when we look at it in spiritual terms and we look at it from the perspective of the parable of the weeds, when we're sowing in our lives, think about us spiritually, when we're sowing and doing things, we're good seed for God. But we don't want to mix that with bad seed of the world. You know, many people like to have one foot into the Lord's camp and another foot into the world's camp. But Leviticus 19:19 tells us, from a physical point, don't sow your field with two kinds of seed. So in a spiritual sense, don't sow the field of your life with two kinds of seed. Be very careful what we're sowing. Be very careful the seeds that you're dropping in to the soil of your life. We have to be very careful. Anyway, that's a little tangent. Back to the text. I thought that was cool. Matthew 13, 38 and 39. More explanation from Yeshua. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are sons of the evil one. And the enemy, verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So a little bit more context about what's going on here. We have to know that God only plants and grows good seed, good fruit, but the enemy in all of his ways is counterfeit. We've seen it from the beginning in the Garden of Eden up to the present day. It would be so easy to distinguish the enemy if he just came as the enemy, but he doesn't come as the enemy. He comes masquerading. He sows seeds that are masquerading as wheat, but they're really weeds. You see, you and I are the wheat if we are staying true to God. But the enemy sows seeds, and what the enemy tells us is, no, they're seeds like all the other seeds. You know, the lies of the enemy. Oh, don't worry about those seeds. They're just like the other seeds. But they're not. The enemy also tries to say, well, you know what? Those seeds, meaning us, the good seeds, those seeds are weeds, and my seeds are wheat. You know how he trips things up. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible can say it better than I can. The enemy is always trying to tell us, when we're trying to serve God and be wheat, that we're weeds. And he's trying to plant weeds and call them wheat. He's trying to say that we're darkness, and he's trying to say that he's sowing light. But Isaiah 5:20 speaks to this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Okay, if you're in the world at all, if you're engaging in the world at all today, this is happening to me. This is happening to you. I know it is. People are calling good evil, and people are calling evil good. And it can get you really mixed up. It can make your head spin. And the only rationale for understanding the truth is right here in the Word. And that's why we're even here right now talking about it. Because the world, the seeds of the world, are going to try to tell you, oh, you're the weeds. This is the wheat. Don't believe the lies. There is darkness in this world calling itself light. And there are people in the world, even maybe people that say that they're part of the body of Messiah, and they're zizanion. This isn't to make us paranoid, but we need to be aware. Turn to Psalm 73. In fact, we can sometimes get discouraged, and many times, you know, we feel like we have to look out for this. And we see all this, you know, sometimes we're getting pretty observant, and we see the zizanion all around us, and it kind of freaks us out. Well, what do? We see the heads start appearing, the weeds start coming up, and it's not like a little bit of weeds. You know, have you ever gone out and pulled weeds in your garden or in your grass? It just seems like they always are there. You pull them and they come back and more come back. And it's like, I just pulled the weeds. Why are they still there? They're just so prevalent. And we can feel many times like the weeds that are amongst us are growing up, thriving, prospering, multiplying, strong, right? If you're feeling this way, you're not alone. Now, I'm going to give you some rapid-fire scriptures here because we need to know that when we feel this way, we're not alone. There's some characters in the Bible that went through this. First, Psalm 73:2. You know, I always love the Psalms, especially the ones on King David. This is a song of not of David, but you know how David cries out, "Why, God? Why do the wicked, you know, why do the wicked thrive and I'm perishing over here?" Well, this psalm kind of says it here, Psalm 73, 2 through 5. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind." You ever feel that way? The psalmist did. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 12. The prophet Jeremiah felt this way. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive?" Okay? Now, one more character in the Bible, you're gonna really resonate with this guy. This is Job, right? This is the quintessential God. Nothing is fair in life, right? We feel like this way sometimes. Job 21, verses 7 through 9. Job had this in spades. Job 21, 7. "Why do the wicked live, reach old age, and grow mighty in power?" Kind of says it right there, right? Verse 8, their offspring are established in their presence, and their descendants before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, and no rod of God is upon them. Do we sometimes feel like that about the wicked, the weeds, those people that are just, they're just prospering? The darkness seems to be prospering. Now let's go back to our text, Matthew 13, 27 to 30. Back to the passage today. Let's keep reading about this here. Verse 27, "And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? That how then does it have weeds?'" See, even they were wondering. Verse 28, "He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?'" Meaning pull up the weeds. Verse 29, "But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" I feel like we need to read that a lot when we feel like the wicked are prospering, because our natural inclination is to say just what the psalmists, just what Jeremiah, and just what Job said. And we've all said it too. Why, God? Why am I having all these troubles and all the wicked who are not following you, who are not trying to do the right thing, why are they prospering, right? But we have to remember, God has a plan. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter, second book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. Why, God? We say, why are these things being allowed to happen? And we need to understand that God has a plan and God has a perfect timing. 1 Peter 3, 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Point number two, don't be discouraged by the evil around you. We have to really, really, really work at this. Don't be discouraged by the evil around you. It's true. It's all out there. We have to understand what it is. We have to call it what it is. We have to know that it's not from God. But we also have to know that in his perfect timing, God will make it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I love this verse as well. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. "Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring it to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." Powerful scriptures. Don't obsess over the weeds around you. First of all, don't get stressed out. Don't get worried. Don't lose faith because of the weeds around you, based on what we just read. But don't obsess about the weeds. You know, some of us, we get so upset about the weeds that we obsess about it, that we take all of our energy and we focus on the weeds rather than taking all of our energy and fixating on God and how we can grow. So this is also a very tricky thing, because it's there, it's right in front of us, it's not going away, but we can't get distracted. We can't lose our focus, and we can't let our energy be all sucked up by that. We have to focus our energy on being good seeds for our Heavenly Father. Now back to Matthew 13. Let's go to verses 40 to 43, the last part of the passage. "So just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let he who has ears, let him hear." Do we have ears today to hear this? Are we understanding today? Are we getting encouraged maybe a little bit? The Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged by everything around us. The Lord wants us to be encouraged in him. If there's one thing you and I can be sure about in this world, is that we are not in heaven. You know, sometimes these offshoot sects and denominations even get into the whole, well, we're in heaven now, and we need to make it like it's heaven here on earth. It is not heaven on earth. I mean, we live in a pretty nice place. And there's many other places that I could say, well, that really looks like hell on earth. But we are not in heaven on earth here. Wicked people prosper on this earth. Those who call themselves believers over the centuries have committed terrible atrocities and acts even in the name of God. Look at the Crusades. Look at the Holocaust. These are all counterfeits. These are all weeds among wheat. Turn with me to Psalm 42, verse 5. But we have to focus on God, and we have to focus on a brighter future ahead. This is, I think, why Yeshua puts this part of the story in the parable of the weeds. The Bible tells us not to be discouraged, but to be strengthened, what? In the hope that we have in God. Psalm 42, 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Amen. Now turn also to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I wanted to put one other scripture in that tells this, makes this point. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You can't be filled with God's hope and love for God if you're filled with the distractions of the weeds around you. If you're obsessed about the fact that the darkness is so dark. Yeah, it's so dark. But we need to be filled in all joy and peace and hope. Point number three, look in hope to God's kingdom. We need to be constantly looking into hope, to hope, in hope to God's kingdom. We don't know when Yeshua is going to come again. For centuries, people have been saying Yeshua is going to come again. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. And it could be, I don't know, it could be 20, 50 years ahead. We don't know. Okay, there's theories, there's different things, we can point to, but we don't know when Yeshua will come again, and we don't know when the kingdom of God will be fully manifest. But we do know that when it comes, we know what's to come, which is Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. I love these scriptures, and I want to end with this verse today, these two verses. This is at the end of Revelation, when the hope comes, when Yeshua comes back, when he's setting up the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be there with them as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's going to be the hope that we want. That's the heaven that we want, not the present state of this world. So the challenge for you and I today is to not waste our energy on the weeds around us, to not waste our energy thinking about how the darkness is getting so dark. We are light. We are good seed that God has sown into this world. And we have a plan and a purpose. And we have a job. And our job is to be encouraged so that we can go out and prosper, or that we can go out and be sown into this world and make change. Now, you're not going to maybe be the one that has thousands of people listening to you and is a kingdom shaker and all this stuff. But you may be the one that steps out of your house and talks to your neighbor and shows with them and shares with them about the light that is Yeshua. And you may be the one that when everybody is darkness at your work, you are a source of light. And you may be the one who is called upon to maybe not even say anything, but be an example in the life that you're living, an example of how to be wheat. So whatever God has called you to, don't think about big or small. Remember last week, your crop may be 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, but the point is you're good seed, and God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for us to sow this ourselves into this world to make a difference for him and his kingdom. May we be encouraged today about that. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to come before you, and by reading your word, we understand who you are. Because we get a lot of opinions about who God is out there, Lord. But the only opinion that matters is your opinion. Our opinions don't even matter. So, Lord, help us to absorb the word. Help us to understand who you are. and understand what our job is, what you're asking us to do. Lord, you're asking us to be good seed that you're sowing in this world. You're asking us to shine as light in the darkness. Sometimes it's not easy, but that's why we get together. That's why we encourage each other. That's why we're here together studying your word, worshiping, and being filled up, because we know, Lord, that in this world, if we're just sitting there too long, we can get too empty. We can get drained. But Lord, fill us up today. Transform us today with the renewing of our minds. Strengthen us today, Lord God, to understand who you are and understand what our role is. I pray that this would increase our faith, that this would encourage and not discourage us, Lord, and that this would spur us on to do things, works, in keeping with our faith in you. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Let's stand together, and we're going to close.